This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And joining us is Mr. Dave Hall from Plane Tags.
Good morning, guys.
I think everybody's luggage should have a plane tag.
Definitely.
You'll definitely be able to spot it on the carousel.
I have one.
We call that seeing it in the wild.
Seeing it in the wild.
And I can't tell you how many times I've snuck up on someone in the airport. I'm like, oh, my God. I made that! And they always like, jump, what?
Yeah, that would be my first reaction, too.
All right, well, you know, we know that you're constantly expanding and everything, but how
first,
many...
what is a plane tag?
Well,
let's get to the meat of the matter here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, I've had this little company called MotoArt for 23 years, and back in, like, it was 2008, actually, I was working with a P-51 Mustang, and I realized I couldn't get rid of the metal. And I made myself, like, instead of like a dog tag, a plane tag. And I made it oval because our logo for MotoArt is a logo, an oval. And that sucker sat in my pocket for 8 years before I finally brought it out and tried to do something for Christmas. And we came out in 2015 with a plane tag line, and it just took over at that point. And basically what we do is we use the authentic skins from the aircraft. We stamp them. We laser etch the schematic and the serial number. And on the card, we'll put the graphic of the aircraft, and on the back side, tell you where we found it, the history of the aircraft, etc.
That's really cool.
All right, now to my question.
Yes.
How many various plane tags do you have?
We've done over 160 for sure. You know, I kind of keep losing count, but now we're in the process. We'll do 2 releases a month. The museums are really getting behind it, Pima Air and Space being one of our biggest advocates.
Oh, yeah.
They're advocates because it's educational. You know, it's nice to see the audience is the young audience that we're attracting at this point because we're collecting them. They're almost like Beanie Babies, but
right.
For aviation geeks, right?
Yep.
And they actually get to own a piece of aviation history, which is kind of cool. So we're doing 2 a month at this point, and we try to mix it up. We try to do some commercial aircraft, general aviation. We now introduce Whirly Bird Wednesdays because we have so many helicopters we're trying to release.
Nice. Oh. A chunk of the rotor blade would be nice.
Yeah. And what's great, though, a lot of the big corporations are getting behind us. Delta Airlines.
Really?
Delta Airlines is being one of them. We're now making the American Express card for them, which is made out of a 747. We're basically categorizing the retired fleet. So every few months, we're coming out with a 75, 76. And we give 13% back to the Delta Care Fund for every Delta plane tag that we do. So far, just in the last year, we raised over $100,000 for them. So they're pretty happy.
Oh, yeah,
with this.
They're pretty happy.
Yeah.
And basically, they're getting rid of their scrap.
That's a win-win if I ever saw one.
Yeah.
So is there one person that you know that you can think of that has the most plane tags?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. You know, there's actually a fan club online on Facebook called the Plane Tag Collections. And I try to stay off of it because it, you know, disrupts me with, you know, watching what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know there are people who have hundreds and hundreds of plane tags. Someone showed me their bedroom just yesterday, and the whole bedroom was just lined. It was like wallpaper of plane tags.
Oh, goodness. Jeez. And you're thinking to myself, what have I wrought?
I was going to say, there's an example of obsession.
Yep. Yeah. Well, could be worse.
You know, and what's great, too, we're starting to work with a lot of people who are restoring aircraft because, you know, when they do the restorations that are taking off the old skins, usually the skins are the first thing that they're replacing. So they take off the old skins, they're using them as patterns, and they're putting new skins on, right? A lot of these guys done exactly what I thought. They've kept the old skins. A couple of ones I brought today I thought it'd be fun to share. We got a Japanese Zero that we did this year, and they pulled this Zero from the Marshall Islands. A guy named John Sterling traded a tractor for him.
A tractor.
And they're now restoring Legend Flyers up in Washington. It's been restoring it for the last, I think about 8 years. And they called us up and invited us to take the scans for the plane tag program. The same with the P-61 with Mid-Atlantic Museum. They're restoring the P-61 that they pulled out of New Guinea.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of been, like you said, a win-win. We raise money for the restorations. The collectors get a piece of aviation history, and it's just kind of really special to hold on a piece of something that's got so much history to it.
Wow. Now, see, I went and bought a P-61 at Reading this year, and I didn't realize it was from that P-61.
Exactly, exactly. That's so, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
I think I'm going to have to get one of the P-61s.
I think you need to talk
to
NASA about some of the early rocket parts.
You know, speaking of that, what are your dream aircraft? What are the ones that you really like to get your hands on?
Well, I want to start dipping into some of the World War I aircraft. I always say no one learns more than I do, right? I mean, I thought I knew a lot about aviation history when I had moto art and we're making these beautiful sculptures. It wasn't until I started playing tags that I realized, oh my God, there's so much aviation history out there.
Yep.
So I was looking to maybe, you know, I'm starting to get some invitations to start looking at some of the cloth-covered World War I aircraft. And how would we present that? And we're thinking about maybe creating like a locket or something that you could have the fabric in it.
Yeah, or embedding it in a clear resin or something.
Something. Yeah, well, I want a chance for them to be able to actually hold it. Yeah, okay. I think that's kind of the something special. But we're just, and also another exciting news is, you know, we, Davis Mothan, always been hands off. No civilians are allowed to own a piece of airframe from a military aircraft. We got recognized on an aircraft. One day we were flying, someone recognized who we were, said, look, I can get you in Davis Mothan, I can get you scrap material. I'm like, yeah, I've heard this before. Well, sure as heck, I went there, and they had an F-16 and an MD-530 helicopter, and they said, look, let's just do a small run, and we'll turn it over to the DOD and see if they approve it. Which is a department called DLA, who's actually handling it.
Okay.
And they called me. It was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir. You know, they asked me what I'm doing, and then they, you know, we sent them the samples, and they approved us. And
wow.
That kind of really changed everything. So we now came out with an F-16 just recently, which is very cool. We have the MB-530, but it actually opens up a lot of opportunity for us now to actually work with museums who may have GSA-owned aircraft that they have to get rid of.
Right.
That we can go in and apply for a reason to be able to preserve some of it.
I think that's fantastic.
That is fantastic. Own a piece of an actual airplane.
Yeah.
Now eventually you're going to have to start
do that.
Huh? Eventually you're going to end up dealing with composite aircraft as well.
Well, funny you brought that up. We are.
Okay.
We are doing more and more composite. The first composite aircraft we had was the SR-71, where we took the stabilizer that was passed down through Skunk Works and somehow Motoart ended up with it. Another story. But we tagged that, but that was all composite material off the stabilizer. Since then, we've done a Starship, the Beechcraft Starship.
Okay.
And we're starting to do, now we're working on an Air Canada A321. So many beautiful colors in the vertical that's composite. So now we're water jetting, and we're going to start offering those next month.
Nice. I was going to ask you, how are you cutting those out with composites? Well, I figured you were using either a laser or maybe a water jet.
Scissors.
Yeah, we water jet them versus the aluminum ones. We stamp them.
Yeah, that's just a punch press.
Yep.
So. Wow, composites are nice. SR-71.
Yeah, no
kidding.
All right,
I got to get one of those.
Yeah, those flew off the shelf.
Yeah, I'll bet they did.
Mach 3 speed.
Yeah, exactly. Darn.
You know, we did.
Hey, how about a U-2? You got a U-2?
No, not yet. They'll probably get arrested if I try to get one.
Yeah, they're still using them, aren't they?
Yeah. We did have a P-38. You know, a lot of times we introduce aircraft, and a lot of the public doesn't even see it. We have a very big mailing list. We try to forewarn people when we have special editions coming out. And we had a P-38 that came out, and it sold out in 41 minutes, and that was about two months ago.
How many tags was that?
It was a run of 640.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And just let me plug what we did for EAA. We did the Berlin Express. We did 240 tags for the B-25, and I believe that already sold out as well.
Jeez. You guys are on a streak.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be a victim of your own success?
Yes.
life is very busy. You know, I have a great team. I like to say it's not me, it's the team. You know, we have great graphic designers. We have historians. I learned a long time ago, we have to be 100% correct on every plane tag that we release. It's kind of funny. You go look back at my earlier plane tags, and you see all the mistakes, you know, the learning curve that we went through. And let me tell you, there's a lot more smarter people out there than I am, and they look for your mistakes. And yep, when you make a mistake on the plane tag, you know, we get a lot of emails.
Yeah, you hear about it.
I got another idea.
Well, I will admit to having a Gimli glider tag, which I've always prized.
Oh,
that's a long time ago.
Yeah, well, it was the 40th anniversary last Sunday.
Of the Gimli glider,
Yeah, we made a special edition for them, 250 tags we donated to the museum. For them to sell. That was our way to give back.
Very cool.
Interesting.
Interesting idea here for you. You're doing skins?
Yep.
Propeller blades.
Oh, I got those. I got 250 Connie blades.
No. I don't mean selling the whole blade.
A half-inch thick tag.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. That's a big punch for us.
Yeah. No, it is.
That you would water jet.
Yeah. So,
wait, I heard 250 blades. Let's see. I'll give you $5 for one of them.
Okay, that's another story. I don't know if you have time for it. But when I started Motoart 23 years ago, we were going to a company called California Propeller, and this guy had the Connie blades, and that was always our grand prize, to get a Connie blade. Well, one day he cut us off. This was like 20 years ago. Well, last year he called me. He said, "Hey, you still in business?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, come on, talk to me." And I went there, and he's an older gentleman now. And he said, "Look," and he opened up this shipping container. He had 250 Connie blades, and these things are gigantic, right?
Yeah.
He goes, "It's all or nothing." So I made him an offer, and I bought all 250 Connie blades. If you come by our booth in Hangar B, we have one right there on display that you can see. That's just magnificent.
Well, I want to thank you, Dave Hall, from from MotoArt or Plain Tags, whichever one you want to be today.
Yep.
And this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And this is EAA Radio.